my father made his living in Hollywood, and mostly as an assistant director or production manager, and that's the stressed out person in charge of budgets and locations and schedules. And one night at dinner, this is 1974, he announced he'd been hired for a new TV show. It was called Three for the Road, and it was about a photojournalist, a widower, who travels around the country in an RV with his two teenage sons, and they have a different adventure each week. And there was just now four of us at the table, my parents and my sister Cecilia and I, and she was 16 and I was 14. And Cecilia and I were interested in Dad's work, which was more glamorous than most people's jobs. And so we asked for details, and he said that the father, Pete, would be played by an actor named Alec Rocco, and then the two sons, Endy and John, would be played by Leif Garrett and Vincent Van Patten. And when I heard this, my heart did a big somersault, because Vince, as I called him, was the love of my life. And I had first encountered Vince on the TV show Apple's Way a few months before. And of course, I watched the show every week, and my love for him grew deeper every week. And now my actual father would be in his presence every day. And so Dad continued telling us about the show. There would be a hot air balloon episode and a dude ranch, and then there'd be a kidnapped heiress, and then there was an episode about Bigfoot. And but I could hardly pay attention. I was so excited. But I was very careful to hide my feelings, because I knew better. And my father, who was a harsh man anyway, totally disapproved of any sort of celebrity worship. And he actually disapproved of his daughters liking any boy, let alone a celebrity. He didn't want to hear about it. And then I knew that my mother and sister would tease me mercilessly about this. And I also dreaded hearing anyone say that Vince was out of my league. And yes, he was a gorgeous, successful 18-year-old actor, and I was a ninth grade kind of dorky nobody. But I knew that we were meant to be together. So the problem was, how was I going to meet Vince so we could begin our romance? And this is a problem, because I couldn't ask my father, obviously, to introduce us. And my dad never took us, his kids, to work. And so how was I going to get on the set? Well, I obsessed on this problem for a few weeks, until I came up with a nearly foolproof plan. See, every week my dad would bring home a script for the next episode that he had to chart out, and he would put it on the coffee table, and I would slip it off the coffee table and take it to my room, and I would quietly act out the whole script, paying careful attention to the scenes that involve Vince and his the young woman, you know, in the story. And I got to the point where I felt confident writing one. I felt I had analyzed the structure, and I understood what they were after in the show. And so I got out our gigantic electric typewriter. I didn't know how to type, but I could see the format, right, on these scripts. And I plunked away night after night, totally neglecting my homework, which I didn't care about anyway, until I had a finished script that I was quite proud of. I felt it was every bit as compelling as the scripts I had read so far for Three for the Road. So now for the tricky next step. So most nights my father came home tired and defeated, and he sat in the living room drinking lots of vodka and complaining to my mother about his god-awful day. So the director had yelled at him, or the show was going over budget, or a location had fallen through. And it was best for us kids to just steer clear of him on those nights. But then once in a while, he had a happy drunk night. Things had gone well. He was feeling good about himself. And he might even welcome an interaction with one of his children, like he was the fatherly type. And so one of these nights came along soon after I finished my script, and I knew I had to seize my opportunity. So script in hand, I approached his chair, and I said, Dad, just for fun, I wrote a script for Three for the Road, and I was wondering if you wouldn't mind taking a look at it. And he said, well, I'll be damned. What's it about? And I took a deep breath and a sip of tea. And I said, I had to pitch this story well. This was an important moment here. And I said, well, Pete and the boys are on assignment in Yosemite. And they're staying in this campground, and also in living in the campground is a forest ranger who's a widower like Pete, and he's got a teenage daughter named Clara, and Clara is a mute, and Clara has not been able to speak since she saw her mother get eaten by a bear when she was very little. And Clara and John, that's Vince's character, become friends. And one day, Clara sees John across the meadow, and he's coming towards her. And then all of a sudden, a gigantic grizzly bear comes rushing out of the woods towards John, but he doesn't see the bear because it's behind him, and Clara knows she has to save John, and she struggles for a few moments, and then she finally gets out the words, John, look out, a bear. And John wheels around and he sees the bear, and he picks up a stick and he fights with the bear, and the bear backs down and runs back in the woods. So then Clara and John, you know, talk about what happened, and then they hug and kiss, and then they walk back to the campground and they tell everybody what happened, and Clara's father is so happy that she can talk now. And then I looked for Dad's reaction, which is hard to read on his intoxicated face, but he looked pleased and he said, "Well, that sounds pretty good. I'll read it tonight, and if I think it's good enough, I'll submit it to the script department tomorrow." Wow! I mean, just like that, my plan was working. And I said, "Thanks, Dad." And I didn't hug him or anything because we didn't do that. Thanks so much. And then I waited a few moments, and I said, "One more thing. I think it's very important to cast the role of Clara carefully, because you know how most actresses are conventionally beautiful? Well, I think it would be very effective if Clara were kind of cute rather than pretty, and maybe with short hair and freckles and a turned-up nose, you know, sort of pixie-ish." And Dad smiled, and he said, "You know, it's never the writer's job to do the casting." And I said, "Oh, I know that. And he said, "And the writer never includes a description of the characters in the script unless it's pertinent to the story." And I said, I know. And he said, "Did you describe Clara in your script?" And I said, "Maybe a little bit. That's okay, isn't it?" And he said, "Well, I'll see. I'll read it tonight, and I'll see what I think." And so I went to bed just so excited, because this is what was going to happen. He turns in the script. The producers love it. They call a meeting, pre-production meeting. And of course, I have to be there as the writer. And we're all sitting around a table, and we're looking through the script. And someone says, "Well, we know you're a great writer, Gene, but do you do any acting? Because, you know, you'd be perfect in the role of Clara." And then, so gosh, I was so excited. I'd never been so excited when I went to bed that night, but I managed to sleep, and I woke up in the morning. Dad got up, and he had my script in his hand, and he said, "It's pretty damn good. I'll turn it in." Oh my gosh, I was excited. So I went to school and I told some of the girls, I went to girls' school, and some of my teachers about my exciting prospects, that I had written a script that was probably going to be used on this new TV show, and I didn't tell them about me and Vince. But and I'm not sure they believed me because at that time I was somewhat prone to exaggeration. But they would have to believe me when they saw the episode and my name rolled, you know, past on the credits. And so that home, that day I went home and waited for Dad to get home, and then waited for him to pour his first drink. And I said, "Well, Dad, you know, any news about my script?" And he looked at me very tired, and he said, "It might take weeks, months for anybody to get around to reading that script." Oh my gosh, how frustrating. Because every week, Vince was meeting a new actress. And what if he lost his heart to one of them before he had a chance to meet me? But I knew better than to badger my father, and I never brought it up again. But every day I came home hoping there was a phone message or a letter from the studio. And after a few weeks, it happened. I came home, and on the coffee table was a little beige envelope, and the return address said Mary Tyler Moore Enterprises. That was the production company. And my mother and I sat down and opened the letter and read the contents. And it said something like, "Dear Ms. Helmick, thank you for submitting Terror in Yosemite. Unfortunately, we cannot use your script at this time, but your writing shows a lot of promise, and I'm sure you can look forward to a successful career in screenwriting," something like that. "Sincerely, Ms. Somebody Important." And I was disappointed, yes, but I was also kind of relieved to have the suspense over with. And also flattered by this very respectful rejection letter. It really made me feel like a real writer. But now I had to regroup and figure out another plan. And so I decided I would sit in on all of Dad's living room monologues every night until I heard a new opportunity. And eventually I did. But that's another story. Thank you.